Washington, Tyler Adams. Weston McKinney, Des making a big run. It's meant for him. Des is snuck in behind. Des into the middle. Pulisic scores! Might have paid the price, but the U.S. takes the lead.
There you go. Team USA is up 1-0 right now. And half? I didn't even know they had a halftime. It's the best thing ever. And then we're still in halftime right now. But from what we saw, it looks like Team USA should be up like 3-0. Nil!
There you go. You're getting it.
I'm getting it now. I can't stop now. I get it.
Only we had a halftime show like the Lions did last week.
Oh, who was that?
BB Rexha.
Awful. Just terrible. The first, it started out, I was dizzy because she was like, they did the circle camera thingy. And then she was like, not, is that good?
I don't know.
I mean, you know me. I'm a rocker, so I know that my judgment's a little weird. But I'm like watching this, and I said, is she someone famous? Is that what the kids are tuning into nowadays? Plus, everything was just weird.
It wasn't on the field. It's in the corner of the stadium where you can't even see it because it's facing the other way.
It was really strange, man.
We just get Creed for every halftime.
With arms wide open. There's R's in words that don't have R's. Yeah, just get Creed.
Greatest halftime show ever.
Well, did they do a halftime show?
They did for Thanksgiving in Dallas many, many years ago.
Wow.
But you should look at it. It's iconic.
I'll have to check. It was like, when you say that, is it so bad that it was good or so good that it was bad?
Everything.
So that means it was so bad
that it was
like good.
There's like a guy holding onto sheets and he's like flying across the field like a bird.
I'm all for just, if we're going to do a halftime show, just go all in. Like crazy things, you know?
Second half is underway, Brady.
Oh, it is. Here we go. All right, this is exciting. Let me read some text. Dixon chiming in. First Advantage text line, if you're new to the show, 888-530-0043. We play for keeps here on the whole show. I got a $15 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. Love this place. I love it more every time I go there. Seriously, I was there last week. I'm going to go again and again, and I hope I see some hooligans there. Anybody standing out to you right now? Dixon's up there. Dixon's always kind of in the mix on these things.
I'm wondering if it's the season and everyone is just so active on the text line today.
We've got, you know,
we had this since the start of the show.
Yeah.
Everyone's inside. Like, they don't want to drive around. So
they're not driving, so you can text a little bit easier.
There you go.
Dixon says, Russell Wilson and Deion Sanders in the Denver area? Colorado would have lockdown on high stepping and high knees, baby.
Knee replacements.
Dude, Deion, coach, primetime, here, awesome. I can't even make a full sentence. I'm just putting words together. Doesn't even need
it
to make sense.
It sounds goofy, but it could work.
I mean, what are the chances?
What are the chances, like, he rides out on Ralphie?
Oh, or just beats him in
he
a
will
foot,
buy
beats
Ralphie,
her
like,
in a foot race.
He'll buy a chain for Ralphie.
Yeah, and just races her in a foot, and does a foot race thing and beats her.
I could see that.
Or maybe he slows up.
Can he teach Ralphie to high step?
Yeah, I'm sure he could. Dude, I wouldn't put much past Mr. Primetime.
I mean, he got a duck to do it.
You got Mr. Unlimited, now you got Mr. Primetime. We just got a bunch of dudes with nicknames.
Too much ego.
Yeah, probably.
A lot of agents we got to talk to.
A lot of ego. Oh, yeah. Do you, like, I don't even know how they do business there, where he is now. Can you just reach out and get, like, does the local media get him on? Or is it like, no, I'm still prime time. You know, I'm not doing that stuff. But maybe he would. I mean, we convinced Ed McCaffrey to finally give us some time. So I'm sure just a little few more nudges than what we had to give Coach McCaffrey, then we could get Sanders on. Yeah, let's do it. Eastside Chris. Oh, this is an idea. I love it. Christmas gala for the hooligans at the Den. Maybe invite Brian and the Schmifties. I guess that's the new Good Morning NoCo nickname. Brian and the Schmifties.
Tanner Schmift is his name now?
Schwint. Schwinties. Schmifty's, although Schmifty's is cool, but it doesn't really. Whichever brings the least number of $1 bills, ponies up for the town. So, you know, this is, it gets dangerous. Double A says, Brady, sorry for talking Angel's ear off. I was driving. Dude, no sorries. No way. We want, call in. We want you to call in. Text.
Well, he wanted
great.
To make sure that his CU bias was clear.
That he hates CU?
He started the phone call with that, and then he said it two more times during the phone call.
Oh, like, was he cursing a little bit?
No, he was just letting you know, I don't like CU, blah, blah, blah. My bias aside for CU, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay.
So with me, it's like, you know, I want the story. I want to have stuff, more interesting things to talk about. Because if it's just, oh, like when the Rams hired Steve Adazio, you know, it was like, who is this guy? He's a 500 coach at Boston College that did the Dudes for Guys things or whatever he did, the YouTube video, just guys being dudes. I didn't even know about it until we heard about it. And then, you know, that was what we ran with for a little bit. And listen, I'm not like trying to disrespect him as a person. I mean, again, I know he had some interesting things going on at Colorado State. But when I interviewed him, he was fine. In fact, there was one interview where I got really pumped up and I was like, this is the guy. I can feel it. And then that went south pretty quickly. But I want the story. Like, the Ed McCaffrey thing, that's entertaining as hell. And positively, negatively, it was still entertaining as hell. Even the way it ended was crazy. So, yeah, I want football. My honest thing is, though, is I want football to be good here. I want sports to be good. You guys hear these shows that I do. Clay Millen, by the way, our last show was yesterday. I love doing these shows for several reasons. I love hearing from the players, but I love giving them an outlet where they feel like they can come on and talk. I mean, Clay brought a couple of the, he brought Jack Howell and Henry Blackburn on the show, two defensive studs. Jack Howell, by the way, was named first team All Mountain West, excuse me. So was Torrey Horton. Is he coming back? Muhammad Kamara was named second team. But I like those stories. But I also want to grow our network here to the point where it's like maybe, you know, athletes are looking at this thinking, hey, there's other cool opportunities to do. I want this area to expand. I want, you know, in terms of sports. I don't want. You know, we have the, when we ever do get the Rocky Mountain Showdown going again, because we're going to have it, but it's not really going to be the showdown. I don't know what they're going to call it. Maybe they're just going to call it that. But when we have it again and we start building up the rivalry here in the state, I don't want it to be laughed at nationally, because it was. I mean, the last couple of Rocky Mountain Showdowns, you'll see Bleacher Report and Barstool and all those guys come out and say, hey, it's the national who cares rivalry or something like that. You know, I want it to grow. That's why I'm pushing so hard for this rivalry game on Saturday, CSU-UNC. And there's no joke here. These are two good basketball teams, two well-respected head coaches that I think have their programs going trending in the right direction. I'll tell you what, Steve Smiley's team, if it ain't this year, it's going to be for years to come, because he's got freshmen on this team that are really good. That the
Caleb Shaw.
Oh my gosh. Just blanked out on his name. Caleb Shaw's a stud.
He is.
That guy's a good player.
He's a lot better than I thought he was going to be early on. You're still looking for guys like Langston Reynolds and Juju Ramirez to kind of, they're still kind of filling themselves out, but Caleb Shaw has really taken, you know, his confidence off the bench and put it on the court, and he's just, he brings so much energy on the floor when he's, you know, playing.
It's, yeah, great. I just, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I talk about Deion Sanders, I mean, he is a good football coach. He is a good recruiter. He can grow this thing. So, yeah, when you're talking about Steve Smiley attracting these freshmen and getting these guys coming in, you get it. You get a Deion Sanders that could do that kind of stuff, too, I think at a completely different level. Recruits know who he is. This isn't Ed McCaffrey, who was a good Broncos player, but if you're much younger than you, Angel,
you don't have to ask your parents who Deion Sanders is.
You don't have to ask, because what did he do? He built that character, and he continued with that character well out. I mean, a lot of people just know him as awesome on it. What was he on? NFL Network, ESPN. I mean, he did everything. And so people know him as a personality, too. So I think if you're the Buffs, you need a shot in the arm, man. Double A, it would take a few years for Prime to polish the turd that is CU. He has a lot to turn around. God forbid it doesn't work out. Look how fast Hackett and Dangerous were out there. Welcome. Oh, it would. Listen, Nobody is invincible when it comes to football. When it comes to running a football team or coaching a football team and doing all that stuff, nobody is invincible. The shine can wear off even on with a guy like John Elway, who for his almost, you know, at least when I started watching him, I know there was some people that weren't nuts about him back in the late 80s, early 90s. But for the most part, John Elway is the guy. He is the most, like, he's the best athlete to ever come out of this state as far as playing at any level, playing at the NFL level. And even with him, as he started to fade, make tough decisions that weren't good, people started to have enough of him. So, yeah, I mean, Sanders could come here and after 2 years could be terrible, and it's not going to give you much staying power. But I don't know. What you've done in the past hasn't been working. It was Carl Durrell, Mel Tucker. The question I have, though, is would Deion Sanders be more of a Mel Tucker, though? Let's say he does turn it around. And I know I'm putting the cart before the horse here. Let's say he does turn it around, though. Is he more like Mel Tucker? And he's just out the door for the first chance he gets. Because there's no loyalty to Colorado.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern is, you know, he takes this job, stays here for 3-4 years, and then gets, you know, an offer at an SEC school or a Big Ten school or, you know, something like Florida or Texas or Oklahoma opens up, and he takes the big-time job that he's really kind of going for, and you don't want to be a stepping stone, but you have to look at where the program is at.
Yeah.
You are a stepping stone.
Which they don't have to be.
No.
I mean, they're in the Pac-12. If they can start winning, their playoffs and all that stuff is very achievable for them. You just have to, I mean, again, I know if and start winning are very tough things, but like for CSU, it's not there. It's not even there. On your best season, it's not there. Now, maybe with the new playoff expansion, it's certainly there. But as a Pac-12 team, it's there for the taking. You just got to be able to build up a program that can do it. And right now, it's not working. You know, and let's just be fair here. As much as we liked what Mel Tucker was doing at the end of the season, what did he win, like 3 games that year? It's not like he turned it around overnight. But there was a sense of, like a Jay Norvell type sense, it was like, oh, this could work. And then he was out the door because Michigan State thought the same thing. Stickman says, Broncos have a better chance of getting Locke back and winning some games than CU getting Coach prime time. Unless CU offered him Wilson's contract. If they get it, like, what do you think that offer's like? You tell me. I mean, what's Nick Saban being paid? Is he $8 million a year? Is it more than that? It could be more than that now. I mean, somebody's going to pay primetime, big-time money.
Yearly average, $11.7 million.
He's 11.7. What do you think primetime would... Because you look at Saban, and he's won several national championships. He's arguably the greatest coach of all time. But Sanders has a big name. What's a reasonable number? Like, what's he being paid now? I'm going to guess... What is he? Is he... He's not at $1 million, is he?
Signed a 4-year deal worth $1.2 million overall.
Overall?
$300,000 annually.
Yeah. What's CU gonna give him? Couple million? I don't even know.
I'd have to imagine a couple mil.
What was Carl Durrell making? I'm putting Angel to work today. Because he's not making anything. Now again, he's probably a pretty wealthy dude. But there's going to be money. There's going to be opportunities. I mean, his name has been everywhere. You know, would you choose to stay somewhere where the money can grow a little bit, but not much? But you can go somewhere and probably instantly quadruple that. Like what he's making over three or four years, he's going to make in a year, if not a significant amount more. So, the money will be there. See, you have that kind of money that they were going. They're already paying, figuring out Carl Durrell's contract and such. Eastside Chris, opening CU home game race: Ralphie, Bol Bol, Sanders, or Tanner? Ralphie, I believe so. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Double A just share. See? Have a prime time in the state. I think it's pretty exciting. Did we figure out? Did you figure out what Darrell was making? Was he at a million?
Or two? A little under that. I know his buyout was $11.7 million.
Okay. So, what could they offer him? Like, realistically, could CU offer him? They couldn't offer him $2 million a year.
Maybe like $1.8.
Am I getting too far ahead of myself here? Is he worth? Is Deion Sanders?
Are you paying for the name or are you paying for the coach?
The name first.
Can he get past his name and say, okay, yeah, I am Deion Sanders, but this is a Power 5 school. I haven't earned anything at this level.
I mean, he's recruiting kids like crazy there, man. He's doing some big things. And the way he connects with student athletes, I mean, that's something where I think he could be able to do that. At Jackson State, I mean, he's put together some nice things early on. That personality, that primetime image that he created, might just be the image that works for 16, 17, 18-year-olds looking at where they're going to go play football for the next several years. I mean, that stuff matters. You talk about Craig Bull up in Wyoming, no disrespect toward him, but is that kind of guy going to work for long? I mean, Nick Saban, his resume speaks so well. He can use that to connect with players until he retires, and it's going to be a never-ending cycle for him because he's built it. He connected at one point and did it extremely well. And now when the winning starts coming so easily, you don't have to be the number one sales guy anymore. You just have to go, hey, do you want to win a national championship or not? Because that's what we're going to go do.
Step into my office. Look at my rings.
That's all you have
trophies.
To do.
Trophies. Oh, you want to go to the NFL? Here's 50 players that have gone.
Like, Jay Norvell has to have a powerful personality. You have to have kind of a charisma. I think you do. Jay Norvell has some charisma. That's what I'm saying. Like, and, you know, again, we go back to Ed McCaffrey. Did Ed McCaffrey have charisma? Didn't seem like it. Right? Like he kind of off to the shadows and kind of wanted to, it sounds like he wanted to be more like a CEO and running the team from afar. And this is what it sounded like. But you got to, every kid I've had on here, stud athlete, David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens, Clay Millen, who will be a stud, they talk about how the coaches recruited them. And they talk about hearing from, you know, Dalen Kuntz said, hey, hearing from Steve Smiley the day I entered the transfer portal leaving CU was a big deal to me. And having that one-on-one ability to connect with these student athletes. Who better to do that than primetime? He's doing it. Oh yeah, I'd go. What's the limit you'd be willing to spend if you're CU? Would you? Because he's making what, $300,000 a year? He can't expect to make much more than a million or so. In the first stint. Like, I'm looking at what the sticker shock item would be. Like, hey, we offered you a million. Is he going to look at that and go, no, it's not worth it to leave here? Would he be willing to pay Colorado taxes? More money equals more taxes, yes. And get enough of it, I guess. I don't know.
Would he live in Boulder?
And is he a Boulder kind of guy?
Not everyone can make it there.
No. It's cold. It's also a completely different world. It is. For better or worse, it's a beautiful place. But yeah, it's a curious thing. On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week from Four Noses Brewery in Broomfield. Four-pack Michelada. Michelada or Michelada? What are we going with there? What do you think we're going
with? That second one sounded right.
Michelada?
Yeah.
Michelada 4-packs. Pick up selections from Four Nose Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages on the Rocks Liquor, man. John and Tony, Great people. We did the Bowling for Turkeys thing a couple of weeks ago, and On the Rock signed up a team, of course. But that's what they're about, supporting the community, getting out and doing great things, all while having a great liquor store with so many options to hook up the hooligans for years to come. 26 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Top Text Tuesday rolling on here. You guys, we still got a shot here at a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. 26 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling will make sure your heater is up to speed for the big winter ahead. 970-567-0798. You know, fine-tuning things. If you just need an altogether new system, check out Lemons Heating and Cooling. They're big-time supporters of the community. They've been on this program for a while, supporters of KFKA, and we just thank them for what they're doing. Think about your next purchase when you're thinking, you know, air conditioning, heating, all that. They will take care of it. Just keep that name in mind, because you never know if that heater goes out or that air conditioner struggling coming up in the when we get to the warmer months and turn the calendars, then you got to think about Lemons Heating and Cooling. 32 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day: who would be a better general manager at this stage for the Broncos, John Elway or George Payton? Are you still thinking, okay, no, Elway was done, his time was coming to an end, it was time to move on, you're still going with George Payton? And like I said at the start of the show, you have to be fair here. You know, Elway's first 4 or 5 years were perfect. I mean, at least, you know, not winning Super Bowls every year, but you went to two of them. In like 5 years, the Broncos went to two Super Bowls, and they won the AFC West five times? They won it three times with, four times with Manning and one time with Tebow. Does that seem right? So five times? So it was all really good for Elway. But to be fair, you kind of should start, because the general manager that he was in the last few years is probably the same kind of guy you're going to get now. I mean, he struck gold. He did that. He went out and convinced Peyton Manning to come here, and he built up a good enough team for Peyton Manning to want to come here, because they did have a good defense and they had some pieces on offense. So I'm not taking – some people like to take that away and say, oh, I got lucky with Manning. No, he built up a good enough team on paper that made Peyton Manning want to go, yeah, that's where I want to go win some Super Bowls. But then after that, everything kind of faded. Plan B, as we know, was non-existent. Then didn't work out. You know, quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, coach after coach after coach, it didn't work out. But here's George Payton, man. I mean, at least Elway hired John Fox, and that worked out pretty well. They were in the playoffs every year with John Fox. They went to one Super Bowl. They won a few of those AFC West championships. Or AFC West division. Yeah, AFC West championship. So that hire worked out really well. George Payton's first hire is not only not working out, he's going to go down. He's going to go down in history as not just one of the worst coaches ever for the Broncos. He's going to go down in history as like one of the worst coaches ever, isn't he? 1 year, you're the worst offense. You know, you had all these innovative things that you were trying. I mean, he's going to, if he, something doesn't change here in the next few days or a few games, then I would say, yeah, he's going to go down as one of the worst hires ever. Now, there's bad coaches, but not, you know, not a lot of first-year coaches just have 2 to 3 wins. But I guess there is a few of them, but he would just be a part of that group. He'd be one of the worst ones. So that's where you go with, like, Elway was rough with some decisions that he made, but the Broncos were never this bad. So is it George cleaning up Elway's messes over the last few years? Is that part of it?
I think with, you know, Elway, we kind of just associate him with the quarterback's decisions. You look at the long list of quarterbacks that we've seen the last, or since Peyton, and you're like, okay, he obviously can't find a quarterback that works for us. Peyton, give it a shot. You got Russell Wilson, all right, it's a good start. You gave him a contract, okay, maybe. And oh, Russ is bad. Eesh.
This is what I don't get, though. George Peyton, do you think that he watched film of Russ? Like, in the NFL, it's not like you have to go scout guys because you know what they're capable of. Do you think George Peyton sat down before they made the trade and watched film last year? I'm not talking about anything over the years before that because you're only as good as your last few games or last year, whatever. Do you think George Peyton went back and watched film?
I think he did. And so then, you might not have watched a ton of it, but you watched enough to say, Russell can do this.
See, I bet he did. I bet you're right. I bet he watched a lot to go, because that question had to be. So he turned 34 today. It's his birthday, right?
Yes.
So when the Broncos got him, he was 33. That would be the math there.
Yep.
So you know that when any player hits 30, you start watching them. Can they do what they used to do when they were 29? Can they do that anymore? So once you hit 30, if I'm going to reach out and get you and have you come to my team, I'm studying you to see. That's what I'm saying. Like, Lamar Jackson, to me, like, probably don't need to watch a lot of film. That guy is what he is. Patrick Mahomes, probably don't need to watch a lot of film. You just know. But Russ was approaching his mid-30s. He's approaching his mid-30s. So if George Payton didn't do any of that stuff, he's terrible. He shouldn't have a job as a general manager. But I'm assuming he did. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Of course he did, right? That's the job. So what in that film changed to now, where we are now? I mean, is it, in my belief, is that, yeah, Russ has lost a little bit of a step. But I have a hard time believing that from the last game he played for Seattle to now, he's that bad. He is what he is. He's playing like it. But there's got to be a reason for that, right? You can't say 2020, Schottenheimer, like, Pete Carroll's mad at Schottenheimer because he's like, dude, Russ is scoring too fast. We're scoring too many points. Our defense is gassed because we're scoring so fast. You mean to tell me in just a couple of years and even from last year that all changed that quickly? I guess when Manning hit the wall, he hit it pretty hard. Because his last year wasn't, really statistically, wasn't much better than Russ's, was it? But his mind, that's what he was always good at that, was audibling and coming up with different play calls. I mean, he was always good at that. Even when he was at his worst physically, he was always good at that. So I have a hard time with this. Where it's got to be something with the coaches. Last year, he played in 14 games for Seattle. He was 259 out of 400. His completion percentage was 64.8. He threw for 3,000 yards. Now, is that a lot? Probably not, but you had three less games, right? So, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He was sacked 33 times. He was sacked 33 times in 14 games. In 10 games, he's been sacked 35 times. He's at a 58.9 completion percentage, which is 5 points down from what it was last year, 5 percentage points down. His yardage hasn't really been the major issue. I mean, 3,000 isn't sexy anymore, and it's not necessarily good, but it's not necessarily awful. He's probably going to beat what he did in yardage, Angel. He'll probably do that. But touchdowns at 8. 8-5 to interception. 8-5. And he's been sacked 2 times more than he was last year with 14 games. I'm not sitting here jumping up and down saying, leave Russ alone. He's fine. I don't think Russ is good right now. I just have a hard time. I'm looking at the numbers. That is a huge drop-off for Russ. And I have to just go back to a lot of this has to be coaching. Is Nathaniel that bad that he's screwing up a player? That's happened before. That's a real thing. Coaches can come in and screw up a player, try to change how they play. Basketball coaches to change how a guy shoots and can't score anymore. So it's a realistic thing. Or is that too far-fetched to think that Hackett's so bad that he's actually ruining a good player?
No, I think that's an idea. Is there concern that if you get rid of Hackett and Russ doesn't turn it around, that you got, you know, you just have a bad quarterback? That if we, okay, yeah. If we're going to blame anybody, we're going to scapegoat Hackett, get him out of here. Russ, all right, this is your team now for the rest of the season, and he doesn't get any better. Then you're like, oh, crap, we just lost our coach, who may or may not have been the problem.
And maybe he's hitting the wall just faster than everybody else. So look at Manning. I know we got a break. From 2014, his last good year with the Broncos, 4,700 yards to 39 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. 39 touchdowns. The very next year, he was banged up a little bit, but in 10 games, 2,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 17 interceptions. He hit the wall, but he was also, how old was he? He wasn't 40. He was in his late 30s, right?
Like 38, I think.
Yeah, so he hit the wall. Some guys hit it sooner. Peyton hit it pretty hard. From 2014 to 15, he hit it hard. Has Russ hit it like 5 years younger than what Manning? That's the only explanation, is that he's just, age has caught up to him and he's not that guy anymore, or Nathaniel Hackett's ruining him. And the offensive line sucks and a bunch of other stuff. 42 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. A couple of texts I want to get to. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Guys, I think Peyton thought getting Wilson was the greatest pickup. Unfortunately, you have hired a coach with no experience who always throws it. We will do what Russell needs. Which is another interesting thing about Hackett. Like, is he the coach that can lay down the law a little bit? Like Carroll did? Because Carroll did that. We know that now. We've learned that this year, that Russ was good, but Carroll maybe put his foot down a little bit, and that helped. That helped the team win. McLean says Russ got injured last year with the Seahawks and hasn't passed for over 300 yards since he came back from that injury. He's had two or more touchdowns only once this year. So was it the injury? And is that on? What did he injure last year? So if that's what it is, because I know he missed two or three games last year. Then that's also on your general manager not getting the medical records and enough insight from conversations with people in the know about how that might affect Russell Wilson. So, I mean, as bad as it, what was the injury?
It was his right middle finger that he hurt and then had surgery on.
That shouldn't be an issue.
I mean,
I know it's on your throwing hand, but
that's the, like,
after that
the
heals,
one finger that's on the laces.
So has he had a hard time gripping the football, maybe, now?
I mean, you're not really seeing his throws aren't, you know, they're off throws, but they're not like, oh my God, the spiral
right.
is
it's not
terrible.
That. It's he's either getting hit or he's just missing guys. So I don't look at that and go, oh, that's because of the finger. No, it's because he's not seeing guys for whatever reason. I can't blame it on the injury, but if it's a finger injury, that's not going to speed up the aging process. Maybe arthritis, but nothing else. 49 minutes after the hour. We have to crown a champion today, Angel. Are you ready for that? We have a champion to crown coming up next for Top Text Tuesday. Somebody's getting a $15 gift certificate. Could be you. Fire off those last second texts to the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll be right back. You're in
insecurities all they're gunning after.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, we got 9 minutes of bonus time here. What is it? Stoppage time? Fun time? So we went to 90 minutes, but there's 9 more to go. So Team USA is up 1-0. There we go. All right. We got to crown a winner for Top Text Tuesday. You guys brought it today. Very impressive. Hooligans made the show better today. I love that. Coming fresh off of a win last week. Making it 2 in a row. And next week, he will have the chance to go for 3 in a row to win the $50 gift certificate. We are going for the $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. We're going with Eastside Chris. Eastside Chris, you've done it. Great texting, my man. Beautiful work by you. Bring it next week, and you could get a $50 gift certificate. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Mark Johnson will join me, the voice of the Buffs. Dion Watch, I think so. Good night, Northern Colorado.